You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into 49ers Access. My name is Sterling Bennett, and we have a guest today. We have a brand new structure of the podcast. We have our main guy, a close friend, Wayne Breezy, joining the show. There was some miscommunication 100% on my end of what was going to happen today, but we're here to talk some San Francisco 49ers. And Wayne, I could not be happier to have you on the show today. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you, and I truly appreciate this opportunity, and I can't wait to talk 49er football. It's been a minute since we've done something together, man, so I'm glad to be here.
I think the last time we talked on a live show was about a year, maybe 2 years ago.
2 years ago,
and,
yeah.
And my lasting impression was, I think I made a Monica Lewinsky joke that left all of you speechless. So I won't go that far today because really isn't much to dive into about Monica Lewinsky, but I'm really happy to have you on. I'm going to talk Chase Young's departure, Joshua Dobbs signing, what that could mean for San Francisco's quarterback room, and we'll get into some free agency grades and some other stuff. But first, want to ask you to kindly like, share, and subscribe to the show. Put those bell notifications on and go to Wayne Breezy's channel. Subscribe to him as well. There's great content over there. And I'll tell you, Wayne, not to pump you up so much, you are on top of everything. The smallest news, the biggest news, every day. It's just... every single tweet is Wayne Breezy. Wayne Breezy. I love it so much.
Thank you, man. I appreciate the grind. And I appreciate everything that you do. You know, you're growing, and I love it. And I just want to help you grow, man. Let's continue to grow this 49ers brass, man, from the content creating side. So it's why we need to come together, collaborate, work together, man. Let's do it.
Yes, sir. We have some people in the chat saying, what's up, Sterling? What's up, Wayne? Have a great show. Thank you so much. I'm going to assume the name is Jax. If I'm wrong, by all means, tell me I'm wrong. And then we got Peachy Brown in the chat as well. We all know Peaches. Good afternoon, everybody. And we have Fluffy Ninja, who I'm assuming is a common audience viewer of your channel, Wayne, is always on mine. And let's dive into Joshua Dobbs.
What does
the Joshua Dobbs signing mean for San Francisco? Yesterday, it surprised me. I won't act like I did it. I didn't think it was going to happen. Josh Dobbs signs a one-year, fully guaranteed $2.25 million deal, including $750,000 in playtime incentives. And I think when I saw this move, my instant thought was, well, there goes Zach Wilson. Out the door. Goodbye. It's never going to happen. Was that your thought as well?
Absolutely, because the rumors were circulating about the 49ers trading a sixth or seventh rounder for Zach Wilson from the New York Football Jets. And I was just like, okay. And I get it, right? You get another kid, another young kid. You kind of get him in here, develop him, see what you can get out of him. You know, it's only going to cost you a sixth or seventh round pick, which isn't really much in value. So I felt like that was something that was kind of picking up steam. And then this came out of left field. I thought that they would address a veteran free agent. And they did, but I didn't think it was going to be this particular type of veteran free agent. Because you look at Josh Dobbs, you say, well, didn't we already have a kid like this on the roster? And we traded him for a fourth round pick, you know? So when you look at Josh Dobbs, I think Trey Lance, I mean, but honestly, the other thing is this, the kid's ability. He's very smart, and he knows how to move outside at the pocket. And he's a really – I think this is a good signing, honestly. And I think it kind of shores up your quarterback room, and it gives you the sense if anything was to go down, like, you know Josh Dobbs, the one thing you can get out of Josh is games won, right? And that's the one thing you know you're going to get from Josh Dobbs. He can win NFL football games on a Sunday, a Monday, or a Thursday night. And that's what Josh Dobbs does. Plus, he gives Kyle Shanahan the ability to kind of like stay creative. And he allows the 49ers defense to still practice against mobile QBs. I think it's a good signing.
Yeah, when I saw Josh Dobbs signed, I kind of got giddy of like, I was comfortable going into the year with Brandon Allen being my quarterback too, knowing how important he is to Brock Purdy inside the locker room, kind of being his confidant, being 32 years old, having backed up Joe Burrow and been relatively successful as a backup quarterback. Like, Kyle Shanahan trusted Brandon Allen enough to trade away Trey Lance. And that gives me confidence. Now, is that a good choice? We'll certainly find out. But knowing that Josh Dobbs is here with more guaranteed money, like, I look towards the draft and I'm saying the only quarterback they're bringing in is an undrafted free agent. Like, I'm not drafting one. Like, it almost ticks off or checks off a positional value or need off the board for me, which when you have 10 draft picks now instead of 11 because you lost one, or maybe it's 9 now, whatever it is, like, you now have one less position to have to fill. And for Josh Dobbs, I think the other thing with him is that when you compare, let's use Zach Wilson, for example, someone who is wildly turnover prone, who's young, mind you, but this really doesn't have it between the years. Like, there's so much going on in New York. The media is obviously tough to deal with, but you know, there is rumors that, you know, like, we saw Mike White come in there and essentially steal that locker room from him. Last year was supposed to be Aaron Rodgers' time in New York, and obviously he got hurt, but then the Jets moved Zach Wilson to quarterback number 3, and he was inactive for a handful of games. They asked him to come back and play, and he basically said no. And he obviously had to go back in because guys got hurt again. But for Zach Wilson, the stats are appalling. Like, appalling. 34 games, 37 total turnovers, 28 total touchdowns. Now, Josh Dobbs is no quarterback number 1. He's no bona fide great backup, but he's 21 total touchdowns to 22 total turnovers in 21 games. Like, there's a massive difference in paying for Zach Wilson's 6th, 7th round pick, albeit you're paying less money, but you're also paying for a worse player. And if you're San Francisco, you're acquiring a good number 2 who last year played in almost the exact same system in Minnesota. Like, the Vikings and Niners essentially swapped backup quarterbacks, and you're paying your guy $8 million less. Like, to me, it's a great win for San Francisco. It's a small move, but if Brock Purdy goes down, I'm not worried about Brandon Allen or Zach Wilson or insert young, unproven rookie. I'm like, no, Josh Dobbs can beat the Dallas Cowboys like he did last year. He can go and beat other teams. Like, I love, for only $2.25 million fully guaranteed, I love signing Josh Dobbs.
Yeah, and it keeps the quarterback room still relatively cheap. And, you know, it keeps it open for them to do things further down the line. I mean, because you want to make Brock the guy. And I think this is good, right? I still think Dobbs comes in, he competes, gives it a different edge at the quarterback position. Brock can still learn things. This kid is smart. People keep forgetting he was an astrophysicist. Or
he's a rocket scientist.
Rocket scientist, whatever you want to call it, man. He should be working for NASA. But at the end of the day, like, he can play football. He's athletic. And here's the thing that we're not talking about. He's coming to a team with a well-oiled, fine machine of an offense. And then he's going to get all of this Kyle Shanahan mumbo jumbo in his head, and this is going to be really good for Josh Dobbs as well as the team. So it's not like he was playing when he was with Arizona, it was one way, or with the Vikings a different way, even though they kind of run similar offensive systems. But he's coming to Kyle Shanahan's system. This kid's going to leave really, really, really well. But I think he's going to play a really good role here in San Francisco. And like you said, if anything was to happen, if anything was to go down, I trust that Josh Dobbs can continue to win games. Just like, and we didn't know what Brock was going to do when he came in, but we know Josh Dobbs can win games as well as lose, but we know he can win.
Would it be wrong of me, and maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here, but when Sam Darnold was brought in, there's a lot of pushback. You're bringing in Sam Darnold, really? He's been awful with the Panthers and the Jets. With Josh Dobbs, it doesn't feel like there's that sentiment. I think people collectively like Josh Dobbs. He's a good guy. Obviously, he wasn't the first-round pick. He doesn't have that bust label onto him. But it does feel like Niner fans are a lot more accepting of this move compared to the money given to him. But also, would I say that I'm equally as confident in Josh Dobbs as I was Sam Darnold last year, or maybe even more because of what he showed last year with the Vikings and the Cardinals?
Yeah, I think that's a good assessment. I mean, when you look at what Dobbs did, his name was literally in the lights. I mean, this dude was winning for Arizona, and then got traded to the Vikings because they couldn't, once they lost Kirk Cousins, and then he won a few games for them as well. And so he got really good media attention, opposed to Sam Darnold, who was this first round draft pick, like, you know, top in the draft, number three, I think, overall, if I'm not mistaken. And he was supposed to be a great quarterback coming out of USC. And what ended up happening? He went to the Jets. He ended up seeing ghosts. I mean, once you see ghosts, it's hard to really bounce back. So shout out to Sam Darnold coming into San Francisco, signing that one-year deal, knowing what his role was going to be, and he used it to his advantage, and he's now the quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. You talked about quarterback swaps. So that's so funny. And so, like, congratulations to him. But when I look at Sam Darnold, it was different. It was a different situation. Brock was hurt. Trey was still on the roster. He was recovering from his injury, and Kyle made it this crazy, weird competition. It was like I don't get the competition situation going on right now, because there was no competition with Brandon Allen, and I don't think there's competition with Josh Dobbs. I think Josh Dobbs is being brought in as a backup quarterback because the 49ers are clearly sold on Brock Purdy, just like they were last year. The difference is we know Brock isn't coming back from an injury. He did that last season. So I think that was the issue. It was a lot of unknown, and so because of the unknown, we were just like, no, to Sam. Like, everybody was no to Sam, but Sam came in and threw a touchdown. I was like, oh shoot, Ronnie Bell, Sam Darnold, let's go. Like, you know what I mean?
And I know you were there for a little bit last year during OTAs and training camp and whatnot, but it was very polarizing to watch it, whether on the field or in the stands. Like, it was okay. Like, you know, why is Sam Darnold here when you have Trey, when you have Brandon Allen? And I think that same conversation, albeit a much lesser so, would have taken place if they had acquired Zach Wilson. Now, rumors, are they true? We have no idea until they do come true. But if they acquired Zach Wilson, former second overall pick, Kyle liked him in 2021, like, there were going to be those people, whether right or wrong, that would have said, oh, this is Kyle's guy. If Brock goes down, Zach Wilson's job. And I think for Kyle, I don't know if he wanted to save himself that conversation and spare himself those media questions. I wouldn't doubt it if I was Kyle, because I've been in that room with him, and he gets irritated really quickly at quarterback questions. You see it in the press conferences all the time. I do wonder that maybe they did kick the tires on Zach Wilson. We liked the guy in a previous couple of years. You know, they could, in a way, remake or reshape his image, but get Josh Dobbs in here. He's super smart. You have a rocket scientist in Josh Dobbs. You have a Harvard grad in Kyle Juszczyk. Like, you're getting someone that can likely learn your system at the snap of a finger. There's not going to be this, you know, this processing issue. And Josh Dobbs is not a great quarterback, but I do think what he can do physically, his fit in San Francisco makes a lot more sense than Arizona and Minnesota. You have Jay Jettas and Justin Jefferson. You have Jordan Addison, where they like to get a little more vertical than San Francisco does. Where San Francisco is going to eat over the middle of the field. Like, it's Debo, it's Kittle, it's Ayuk and whatnot. Like, I think Josh Dobbs wants to live there, and it's going to be a lot more comfortable scenario. Like, Josh Dobbs last year got acquired middle of the season by the Vikings and was thrust into a game against the Falcons where he hadn't practiced all week and he won the game. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to happen in San Francisco, but, like, there is that level of confidence in him that, hey, like, I may be head over heels out of, you know, in deep water, but I can survive. And I don't think Zach Wilson could do that. I don't even know if Brandon Allen could do that. Like, Brandon Allen's a fine 32-year-old backup. And if he was quarterback too, great. But I think Josh Dobbs brings something else to the room that Brandon Allen wouldn't have. Zach Wilson hasn't shown the ability to be able to yet. And a rookie certainly wouldn't do.
Yeah. I agree. I'm with you on Josh Dobbs. That's why I'm super confident if anything, like I said, was to go down. I think Brandon Allen would be fine because of his maturity. I think the thing that really messes up Zach Wilson is his immaturity and the fact that he's young. And I really think if Zach, let's just say Kyle trades for Zach, and I would love it because you have mad stuff to write about. Let's just say if he does this, and now you got the competition. Now there's a competition. There's a competition for quarterback too, right? Just like there was last season. There's a competition for quarterback too. I would love it. I swear to goodness, I would be all in. I would be glued to your shows, your TV, your. I couldn't wait for you to put the stuff out, because I would be all in on to see what Kyle is really trying to do with these quarterbacks, because Kyle has visions. And I think to bring his vision, to, you know, make him come to life, you know, he wants certain pieces. I wouldn't be mad if they brought in and traded for Zach Wilson, because I think Kyle is thinking down the road. I think you bring this kid in, you bring him into this machine, and you put him through like everything he needs to go through, and then he's gonna get Greasy training. And so that's super different. I mean, I think Greasy helped make Trey Lance better. I think Greasy is making Brock Purdy great. I think Greasy helped make Sam Darnold better. Like, just think about what's going on with the right quarterbacks coach in the room. And so I think that's what Zach Wilson could use. And then Kyle might look at it and say, hey, you know, Brock's our guy. Zach, you can be the backup. Like, you know, if you move on from these one-year deals from a Brandon Allen and a Josh Dobbs going into the next season, 2025. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's still in fruition. But if they don't kick the tires on that, you hit the nail on the head. Somebody, one of these quarterbacks, there's a quarterback that's going to be signed that's undrafted. And it's going to be a guy, I'm hoping it's the kid from Kentucky, Devin Leary. I really think that would be the perfect, like, not replacement, but situational football for, like, a Brock Purdy. He's just super efficient with throwing the ball. You saw him at the combine. He looked really well on the throws. Not worried about his deep accuracy or deep ball down the field. I just know that he would get the ball to the receiver when it's supposed to get there. And so that's somebody I think that if he goes undrafted, I could see the 49ers signing as an undrafted free agent.
Well, now right there is something that I think everyone saw in Brock. You can just get the ball to the guy where it needs to be, when it needs to be. And, you know, I don't know if Leary, you know, is going to be Brock Purdy. It's pretty hard now to be Brock Purdy. You know, the story is incredible. But I think as of right now, whether it is the draft, I do think that Niner fans are a lot happier with the quarterback room today than they have been since 2017. Like when Jimmy first got here, we have our guy. Then things transpired and it didn't work out. But even in a quarterback room that had Jimmy G and Trey Lance and Brock Purdy, I think right now, in a weird, twisted way, while the talent may have been better in that room, at least the potential may have been, I do think as of now, Niner fans are a lot more happier with the room today than they have been in previous years. And I don't know if that's because they may have two competent backups and there is more known than unknown. Like, Trey Lance is still unknown. Brock Purdy at the time was very unknown.
Correct.
And the only person we did know was Jimmy Garoppolo, who was injury prone. But I do think, like Jack says here, she likes Josh Dobbs. And I think that is a common theme amongst Niner fans. They like Josh Dobbs. They're cool with this move. It makes sense for this move. And Peachy Brown again says, I feel comfortable with Josh if he has to come in for Brock. I think if, let's just say hypothetically, Brock Purdy goes down week one against whoever it is. Now they probably lose that game, mind you, but I do think that Josh Dobbs would give them a pretty good chance to win in this system. Like, when Sam Darnold came in against the Ravens last year, it was but he looked fine. Like, he wasn't great, but like he looked competent, he looked comfortable. Like, and I do think Josh Dobbs would give us that, unlike in previous years where it was Nick Mullins was okay in 2018, then it was Beathard. Oh my God, don't throw the ball. Like, there's previous quarterbacks that would scare the daylights out of us if they played. I don't think Dobbs and Allen give us that. I think it's okay, like, let's see what you can do.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's unknown for Allen. I really don't. I have to go back and watch Cincinnati, but I don't really know what Allen can do. I do know that defenses play different toward backups than they do starting quarterbacks. They prepare for the starting quarterbacks. They're kind of unprepared for the backups, so they kind of play a little different. So when Sam Darnold came in that Ravens game, he was able to move the ball. And we were just like, why can't we move the ball before? Because they played it a little different. The defense was a little different, but it's okay, you know. But I think I'm with you. Like, I think Dobbs will come in, and I don't think if that was hypothetically the situation for the 49ers week one, I don't think the Niners will lose. I think they're built to win, and the quarterback just has to come in and operate within the system. You don't have to do anything outside the lines. Everything is kind of like here for you. All you got to do is just, you know, run the play, execute the play. That's Kyle Shanahan in a nutshell. It don't matter who the quarterback is. Like, and this is probably why these high-profile quarterbacks would never probably fit in a system like Kyle Shanahan, because he would have to relinquish the power to a quarterback. Like, remember Aaron Rodgers? We wanted Aaron Rodgers. I know I wanted Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady, I wanted Tom Brady too. And then I kept saying to myself, would it even work? Especially now in hindsight, because we watched our team lose, and we would have had these great quarterbacks, but I know Tom Brady would have cursed out Kyle Shanahan. I know Aaron Rodgers would have cursed out Kyle Shanahan. And I think Brock is almost getting to the point to where he wants to tell Kyle Shanahan to shut the beep up. I really feel he's getting to that point. Year three, we're going to see. I'm so happy right now because, number one, Brock Purdy is coming back healthier than health. Like, just health. Like, just healthy. Like, no injury, no nothing. Full off-season, OTAs. I've never been more ecstatic in my entire life. This will be his first season in any of that. I'm sorry. Because his rookie year, he was third string. His second year, he was returning from the UCL. Third year, he's coming in full quarterback one mode. I'm loving it. I can't wait to see how he progresses in the offseason. And that's why I'm just so excited. I think Brock is going to help this team just get to the next level. But I think it's going to be his mental to kind of like manage it, like what the coach is asking him to do. Yeah, I'm going to do what you asked me to do, but I've been playing this game now for 3 years and they be switching things up on me. So let me just go out here and rock out. But as far as the backup situation, I think it's solid, bro. And that's why I like the Josh Dobbs signing.
Someone yesterday in the chat on the show we did yesterday afternoon asked, you know, what can Brock get better at?
Ooh.
And one of the things I said was, when I watch great quarterbacks play, and I use the Peyton Manning example.
Oh, yeah.
Peyton Manning was the sheriff for a reason. Yeah, he looks like Woody from Toy Story, but he handled himself like that. Like, hey, he means business. He's a leader. And while it's tougher in this offense to be that guy, because the center usually has to do with pass protections, he'll set protections. Kyle Juszczyk certainly helps in that aspect too. But I think where I want to see Brock improve upon is being the sheriff of San Francisco's offense. I want to see him set pass protections. Kyle will give him two plays in the huddle and say, hey, if you see this coverage, this is your play. If it's the other coverage, this is your second play. I want to see Brock just take total control. And that's tough, but we've also seen and heard the stories of Brock cursing out Trent Williams in the huddle. Like, shut the F up, man. Like, we have a play to call. And I do think that for Brock, like, he has the physical ability isn't going to be equal to Josh Allen or the guys you mentioned in that conversation with Josh Allen. But Brock Purdy has the demeanor of someone, like, he's a leader. Mm-hmm. And I think guys can get behind him, but he also has the physical and mental processing that can set him apart. We saw it last year in the last couple of years. And I know we lost against Kansas City, and it hurts to even admit that now, but he has now seen what a Steve Spagnuolo defense will scheme against him. Yeah. He's seen the blitzes. He's seen, you know, the multiple coverages are going to toss at him. That's going to improve this year, and this team around him, I think, should be improved. Obviously, they'll bring back Ayuk, and they'll have Debo and whatnot, and hopefully they can improve the offensive line. But when it comes to the quarterback room, you're getting year three, like you said, completely healthy Brock Purdy that has seen and been to a Super Bowl now, that now has a pedigree to tell guys like Trent and Kittle, shut the F up, bro. We're going to the championship. Be quiet. Like, listen to me. Whereas he already had that, but it's so much more now. And I do think, like you mentioned, like Matt Ryan and Kyle Shanahan did not get along their first year together. They butted heads constantly. And while Brock won't do that with Kyle, I do think he has earned the right to push back at times. And Kyle may not like it, but I do think, you know, iron sharpens iron. Like, mm-hmm. Those two guys get into a room, and is Brock going to be an MVP finalist this year? Who knows? He may not be. I do think there is room to improve, not in the box score, though, but it's how you play. Like, Brock is so good at the off-schedule stuff, avoiding sacks and pressure and whatnot, and taking these risky chances that happen to pay off for him. Some of those may not pay off next year, but I do think for him in the classroom with Kyle, I think there is a chance where Brock Purdy can make Shanahan a better head coach and a better play caller. And I do think the quarterback room behind him now, like, there's no quarterback competition. There is none of that anymore. Like, last year you heard reports of they wanted to bring in Tom Brady if Brock wasn't healthy. Mm-hmm. That's gone. Like, Brock is healthy. There is no more. Now, we'll bring in someone else to supplant you if you can't play. No, you are the guy. Come in there and act like it. And I think Brock Purdy in the offseason, he got married. I'm sure he'll get that dad strength pretty soon. We know what that means. But I do think for Brock Purdy that this year is going to be a massive improvement of what he's like behind the scenes, which should improve him in front of the scenes.
Yeah, you talk about processing, man, and the one thing I love about Brock Purdy is his quick processing. But the one thing that we have to, you know, respect is the mental capacity of what this kid has seen, like, and played in, and all the different. Brock was the number one blitzed quarterback in the NFL last year. I don't know if they were trying to take advantage of a weak offensive line from the 49ers, but this weak offensive line still kept Brock pretty darn, like, you know, upright. Like, you know what I mean? For one, he didn't get hurt. Number two, he was able to avoid the blitz by quickly processing these plays and having these type of playmakers against certain blitzes like that. And then he got hit with these mixed signals from the Baltimore Ravens and Steve Spagnuolo's defense from the Kansas City Chiefs, two teams that he doesn't play often. The 49ers don't play these teams often, and those teams kind of like sent the kitchen sink, right? It kind of hit him with a bunch of wrenches and all this type of stuff. But the thing is, he's learning from it, and I think that's the key, right? And so the more he sees it, the one thing I know and I love about Brock is you might beat him once in a certain way. You're not going to beat him again that same way. You have to figure out a different way to beat Brock. And I don't know about you, that's something that we haven't seen from a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL, unless you start naming some of the greats, and we can go with the recent greats. That's what Brock has given everybody. And so I think Brock only gets better. It only goes up from here for him. I think Brock Purdy is going to be just fine. And like you said, he's only going to get stronger mentally and physically, because whether he has those physical attributes of the Josh Allens and the speed of Lamar Jackson, he doesn't need that. He has this Brock Purdy, like,
get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Candy, like, just weird. He's physically gifted in his own way. Like,
right.
I didn't know he could run until he ran. I'm like, oh, that kid got wheels. Like, you know what I mean? And so, like, It ain't about 440 speed. It's about football speed, breaking down a play and beating one guy. And that's what Brock Purdy does. He's a football guy. And that's why he's successful with the San Francisco 49ers.
He's very shifty, is what I'll say. Like, we saw him high step on all-pro linebackers at times, and it was like, whoa, like, you're a rookie, man. Like, what are you doing? There's some, I won't say quiet confidence in Brock, because he's very outspoken as to, you know, who he is as a person, but Brock very much is his own person, and I think he does stand apart amongst the NFL's greats in that. I do want to move away from quarterbacks, because we can talk about Brock Purdy all day. There's a report this morning that came out of Andro Filippone of 93.7 in Pittsburgh, and we have discussed ad nauseum what's going to happen with Brandon Ayuk. I am someone who says he's not getting traded. It makes no sense to trade him away, but Filippone did say this, that the Steelers had looked into Brandon Ayuk via trade, and while they would have to, you know, sign him to an extension after this year or even during the season, they've shown interest. And when I heard that, it almost aligned with my thoughts of when Mia O'Brien brought up Jacksonville as a destination. I was like, yeah, freaking right. There's no way. Like, when I saw that, so when the trade offer that was assumed to be or rumored to be for IU, number 17 and Zay Jones, I said, if they turn down that offer, Pittsburgh's picking three spots later. What can they offer unless it's like first round pick this year, second round pick this year, and then Calvin Austin? Like, they're just not going to do it, nor would San Francisco say yes. But what do you make of the whole Brandon Ayuk trade situation? Because all of it seems like posturing to me.
Yeah, you know, it's draft time. And so it's draft time and it's contract extension time. I think those two things go hand in hand. You got a player playing on their fifth year option. You know, the 49ers are – They just take their sweet time when it comes to working out deals and getting extensions done. So we know from our history this ain't going to happen no time soon, so probably sometime in August. You would think that the San Francisco 49ers, for the first time, like, would have just shot the bullet early, before with Calvin Ridley got his deal. unfortunately, that they didn't, because that's just not their MO. And so now these reports are going to start coming out. And some of them are rumors. But, you know, you said that it doesn't make sense to trade Brandon Ayuk. And I get it. I do. I'm with you. But then there's a scenario that it does make sense. And I know that's the scenario that a lot of the faithful, a lot of the fans don't really want to talk about, you know, the business side. And so when you look at Brandon Ayuk and you look at what his contract is at the $14.1 million this year on the fifth-year option, the Niners got to extend him. And if they don't choose to extend him, yeah, he's signed to play. They don't have to trade him. But the question is, what are teams willing to give up for Brandon Ayuk to where it will relieve cap pressure for the San Francisco 49ers and they can draft another wide receiver? They will never draft another Brandon Ayuk. So let me make myself clear on your show, because I know people are going to be like, who the hell is this? They will never draft another Brandon Ayuk. They will have to draft a wide receiver, and that wide receiver will have to blossom into what he ever blossoms into, whether they draft him in the first round or any other round. But my point is, that's the only way it kind of makes sense. If a team is just willing to give up what the Niners are asking for. And here's my thing, Sterling, and this is why I agree with you when you say it doesn't make sense. The Niners are going to ask for like this crazy amount of picks and whatever, and no team is going to be willing to do it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Which lets me know they don't really want to trade them, right? But it might be that one silly team that be like, all right, you want a first now, first or second, conditional pick next year.
Right.
Maybe we'll do something. Hey, and then the Niners are going to be put in that situation where they have to make a really tough decision. Do we move on from our number one wideout, who has had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, not even being the number one option? That's the scariest part. He's not even the first option in this offense. So, like, it doesn't make sense for the Niners to trade a guy that moves the sticks, that's averaging, what, 20-plus yards per average? Like, it's ridiculous. And so it wouldn't make sense. But financially, and you're looking at the infrastructure of the team and what the Niners, who they have paid, who's hitting the cap, how many more restructures are they going to do? Like, it kind of seems like if the Niners could get that King's ransom for Brandon Ayuk, they kind of pull the plug. It would suck. But I get the business part. But I'm with you. It doesn't make sense to trade him. Like, Brandon Ayuk is a staple. But here's something I don't know if you know, because I have this news right now. So Brandon Ayuk on Twitter, he adds Coach Tomlin, and he says, they saying we twins. What do you think? And then he puts up the eyes. So I don't know what you make of it.
Yeah, I mean, he's not wrong. They do look like twins a little bit. But
come on, man. It's starting, Sterling. You have to agree that the rumorville is going to heat up, and we're like almost over 5 weeks away from the draft. So if Ayuk isn't traded before the draft or on draft night, he's not going anywhere. So that's good, right? But dang, that's a lot. That's a long time to be waiting to figure out stuff.
So let's address, I think, what San Francisco, like, had the Bears pre Keenan Allen trade said, hey, we'll give you number 9, right? Mm-hmm. They have plenty of cap space. They're getting Caleb Williams, moving off Fields. We'll give you 9 for Ayuk. Oh, okay. Like, that makes a lot of sense.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
But like, the Niners aren't trading Ayuk away for 20 and insert. Like, when I think of the receivers you can get at 20, yeah, you can get a lot cheaper, sure, which is fine. And the receiver you may draft, whether it's Brian Thomas or whoever it might be, like, that guy could eventually become equal to, greater than, or whatever it might be to Brandon Ayuk. I just think for a win now team, it doesn't make sense to trade your 26-year-old star receiver when Deebo Samuel's 29 next year, and you can then trade him for, I don't know, fourth-round pick, third-round pick, and you can find yourself in a much better cap situation anyways this year if you extend him. Now, that may be what makes sense for San Francisco. But let's say Ayuk pushes the envelope and it's like, look, guys, like, you're not paying me. I want to get, you know, I saw Calvin Ridley get $50 million guaranteed. I want 60. Now, that's a crazy amount, but Ayuk's a good receiver. He might ask for it. Like, maybe he wants to reset the receiver market. We have no idea what Ayuk might ask for. If that's the case, and let's say he does say, I do want to play for Mike Tomlin, who they just traded away Deontay Johnson. They got rid of Allen Robinson. They have Russell Wilson. They have now Justin Fields. It's a team that has never had a losing season under Mike Tomlin. Like, they're just consistently good, or at least in the playoffs, and losing in the first round. Like, they're a good team. has a good defense behind them. If you are Brandon Ayuk and you push the envelope to leave San Francisco for one of the greatest head coaches of the past decade, two decades, in Mike Tomlin, I don't think, like, San Francisco does hold a ton of leverage in these conversations, right? You're under contract. And I do think what Niner fans, I don't want to say don't understand, but they're going to treat Brandon Ayuk a lot differently than they treated Nick Bosa. Like, they know if they lost Nick Bosa, they don't have a defense. And they have Fred Warner and other players there that could make them okay, but you're losing your defensive player of the year. They'll look to Ayuk and say, edge rusher, receiver, what's more replaceable to us? And I do think, like they didn't do for Nick Bosa when they didn't fine him for not showing up, I think if Ayuk doesn't show up, he's going to get fined. That might not be for the first couple weeks, but if you are not there during training camp, if you hold out until prior to week one, he's going to lose money, I think.
And see, that's that crazy stuff, though. And I get it.
It sucks to hear that and say that, but I think it could happen.
You're right. You're 100%. Like, it's supposed to happen. Like that.
Right.
I mean, Nick Bosa lost the money too. Let's give it a buck. Nick Bosa lost the money, but the Niners found a way to figure it out in the contract talks. I'm just saying, if they did that for Nick, and Ayuk does the same thing, I hope that they would do the same for Ayuk. And I think this is what to do. But you're right. That's supposed to happen. That's what's going to happen. I just think when it comes to wide receivers, it's funny. And they're already labeled as divas. Right. Like, they're the bad boys of the NFL. Like, I just wish the Niners would just be like, you know what, we want them, F it, let's do it, let's extend it. And I know they got to restructure, they got to free up money in the cap. There's ways. They got to figure it out. They got to get on it. Because if this thing gets out of hand, it's going to be a problem. And the fans are going to start hating. They hated Debo. And then you go into next
They still do.
Right.
It's like, and to be fair, Debo has not performed up to par consistently with the contract. He'll tell you that, and we know that.
That's true, but you're asking this dude to recreate the same season where he got he's not even used that way. Like, he's not even utilized in the same ways. There's no way he's putting up that many all-purpose yards. He was like second to Cooper Kupp that year, and I don't see one Rams fan wanting to move on from Cooper Kupp, and he's been injured and out for a season and not being able to perform coming back. So come on, we gotta bat back a little bit of the expectation when these guys get their contracts. They're not going to be exactly what they did to get the contract, but when his number is called, he usually comes through in the clutch. And so, like, at the end of the day, like, that's the only thing that should matter. And the Niners put a really good infrastructure around. I know we said we're done talking quarterbacks, but for Brock Purdy, And they got the key pieces. I think Ayuk is a key piece. I'm sorry. I don't want him throwing that to Ronnie Bell. I'm not saying that Ronnie isn't going to progress, but he's not Ayuk.
But he's not Ayuk. Exactly.
And even if you draft a guy, let's just keep it a buck. Let's go with the ones that are going to be off the board. Marvin Harrison Jr. off the board. Roma Dunze off the board. Malik Nabers off the board. Brian Thomas Jr. off the board. Like, other than after that, I'm good. I don't want anybody else. I don't want any other wide receiver from Washington. They all Dante Pettis-ish, like, in my opinion. So at the end of their soft, that's what I meant. Right. I meant that they're not the same. They don't have the dog in them. That's what I wanted to say.
Exactly. You're right. Yeah.
But so now you got to really, really, like, fine tune and pick a wide receiver. And so now you're looking at, like, Keon Coleman and that second tier. You're not drafting them in the first round. And so they're not going to come in and do what Brandon Ayuk did. So that's why when you said it didn't make sense, it really doesn't make sense, even if a team offered a king's ransom. It would literally take that, though, Sterling. Like, three first round picks. And then you have to let the Niners do it. Like, they have to do it, right? But no team is gonna do that. So the Niners and Brandon Ayuk's agents, we just gonna have to wait this out, and we just have to wait it out, see what happens, because it's gonna get ugly. I'm hearing the stuff in Pittsburgh right now is really picking up steam, and everybody was crapping on that reporter that you talked about on the radio host, and I'm hearing from another source that there's some validity to what's going down.
Okay. Well, I mean, so let's say Pittsburgh does want Ayuk. Let's say, and there's going to be a handful of teams that want Ayuk no matter what, right? He's a great receiver. 99% of the league would want Brandon Ayuk. When it comes to his value, San Francisco would probably ask for more in return for Ayuk than they gave away for Christian McCaffrey.
1,000%.
And Christian McCaffrey is
the best player in the NFL.
and even then, like, let's say a team like, and this is not going to happen, but let's say a team like Minnesota, they have 2 first-round draft picks. We'll give you both for Ayuk. That's not going to happen, but let's say they did. At that point, yes, I'll take it. But I don't think any team is offering you a first-round draft pick for Ayuk. Knowing how deep this class is, like if this was a couple years ago.
Yeah, not a high one.
Not number nine.
Right. Like, that would have been perfect, though. Oh,
it would have been great. But even Pittsburgh at 20, like the five guys you could maybe slot in to say, yep, they can have a Brandon Ayuk impact or somewhat of his impact in year one are not going to be there.
No.
So if you're San Francisco.
Who's the fifth guy? I named four. Who is your fifth? Or did I name five?
Well, there's Keon Coleman's up there. There's Xavier.
Okay, so you got him as a first round. Okay, that's fine. That's cool.
Well, here's the thing is that every mock draft, and mock drafts are always a crapshoot, right or wrong. There's always guys that are overvalued, undervalued on those things.
Mm-hmm.
Some mock drafts have 7 receivers going in the first round.
100%.
That's crazy. Which 100%. It could happen. We saw it with the Ayuk year. A lot of receivers went that year. Like, mm-hmm. It happens. And let's be honest here, Ayuk outside of Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb is probably the best one. Like, Ruggs went and Judy went ahead of him. Like, so, like, it doesn't, like, a receiver, like, I didn't even know who Ayuk was before that pick. I go, who the heck is this guy?
Arizona State, like, none of us did. None of us did.
And
we traded up to get him, I thought. Yeah.
We did. Yeah, exactly. And, like, that was the Kinlaw pick. And, like, for San Francisco, you've only had one other first-round pick sign a second contract. And I get it. McGlinchey was fine, but he wasn't worth the contract with the Broncos that he got. Kinlaw was a bust for 3 years, had a good year this past year, but wasn't worth the money he was getting from the Jets. You're not like Trey Lance just didn't work out.
No.
Right. And like Reuben Foster and Solomon Thomas, yikes. Like when you finally hit on a guy, why would you let them leave? And it's not like if San Francisco was losing, let's say, a McGlinchey again, they didn't even draft the replacement. So why would we think they would do it for Ayuk? Like, it's positional value, sure, but they let McGlinchey leave and said, you know what, Colt McKivitz, you're our guy. And I like McKivitz. He's a fine swing tackle. He might be a tackle again this year. But if they're not going to replace the offensive line to protect then Brock Purdy off a torn UCL or Trey Lance off a broken ankle, why would I think they would draft the receiver to replace Ayuk in the first round anyways?
This is why I love you. Listen, when I tell you, you're asking these questions, man. I'm telling you, listen, Kyle Shanahan, first of all, Kyle Shanahan is going to say this. Well, my offensive lineman didn't get Brock Purdy hurt, and my tackle didn't get Trey Lance hurt. The damn center did. Like, at the end of the day, like, he will find an excuse to why he's not addressing certain positions, right? And so that's so funny to me. But I'm with you. I just don't know what the Niners are going to do. I think that they should figure out a way to re-sign they Nick Bosa and Brandon Ayuk. Like, you bring these guys back. Now, the question is, do they want to lock up that amount of money in a wide receiver? And the only thing I can think of, and let me know what you think about this, the only thing I can think of is that Kyle Shanahan's affinity for wide receivers is through the roof. So he feels like he can make anybody. Like, he'll draft players and they'll have certain things that he loves, and then he'll try to make them blossom. Because let's, like, Brandon Ayuk, was he that dude in college? I don't know.
Not what he is now.
No, but even then, you talk about all these other wide receivers, and this is why, I mean, there was something in him that they loved. Probably his wingspan and his ability to, you know, high radius, all that good stuff. It was something that they loved, but I don't remember him just, like, tearing up that year in college with these other top receivers that went high in the draft that just didn't work out. I mean, Henry Ruggs, I believe, is in prison. Jerry Jeudy just got traded to the Browns. And I forgot who else was in that draft. CD Lamb, I think. CD he's Lamb. Doing good
and
with the Cowboys.
Jalen Reagor was also
where,
there.
Where the hell is Reagor? I don't even know where he is.
Patriots.
Oh, he just got to, so my point is they saw something in him that we didn't see. Mm-hmm. And so that's the only thing that makes me nervous, Sterling. Kyle Shanahan is a great wide receiver scout. I don't know what it is, but he finds him.
Is he?
I don't know. He found Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, but I also watched Dante Pettis be a second-round pick. I also watched
because
Danny Baby
Dante
a third-round pick
Pettis,
not be able to play.
Because Dante Pettis was a different breed, and you see how You're Kyle right. switched it up. He You're went right. from and then – and okay, let's go back to Trent Taylor. Short dude, shifty dude, Wes Welker type dude, one of them, Danny Amendola type. He was never tough enough to be Danny Amendola or Julian Edelman. He was never tough enough to be that guy, but he thought he could have a shifty guy run in the slot, you know, catch the ball, great hands from Trent. And it just didn't work out. He was injured all the time, so we'll never know what he was supposed to be. And then Dante Pettis was just a flop. Jalen Hurd couldn't get right healthy. We will never know what type of a monster he would have been. So then he decided to go with healthy dog mentality minded type of dogs, and that's where Brandon Ayuk comes in. This would be the first wide receiver I felt like Kyle really hit the nail on the head. But if he feels like he's got the formula, in my mind, he's saying I could do it again. So let's get what we could get. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
No, you're
please
right. Like,
please tell your people don't unsubscribe. This is me playing the devil's advocate because Kyle's weird.
No, you are right. Like Kyle, in a way, for as great as he is, does have an ego of like, look, I can replace insert player here that was great for me. Like he is replacing Eric Armstead, who was great for him, or at least really good for him, with good Malik point. Collins, who was like. And I get there's money tied up there, and you can free up $18 million, which will likely be paid to Brandon Ayuk, let's be honest. It's not as if Kyle hasn't been comfortable moving off guys that have worked to find cheaper, younger guys that he hopes can work. I just have a hard time believing that Kyle, in the draft room, that's out there pumping his fist when he finally gets the guy he wants in Ayuk, knowing after he drafted Ayuk, you've hit on Juwan Jennings Shore. You've hit on Deebo Samuel Shore. They've all been good in a variety of reasons and ways for you. Like Juwan was probably the best player in the entire playoffs for you this past year. He was great.
Ain't no way he traded.
All that to say, Ayuk's better than both of them.
Ain't no way. No way.
Like Ayuk and Deebo has had many great seasons here, many highlight plays. Ayuk is better than Deebo Samuel.
Ayuk is the best wide receiver San Francisco has had since Terrell Owens.
Yes.
Sorry.
And that's not taking away Debo's all-pro year. But then you add in the actual facts. Debo's 28 years old. When he missed three games last year, the offense tanked with Ayuk on the field, mind you, which that stinks. And I do think that might be part of the conversation. Hey, when Deebo wasn't there for three games, what did Ayuk do? Nothing. Now, is that a Kyle Shanahan problem? Maybe. But then you go to the playoffs. Deebo gets hurt again. Then who steps up? Brandon Ayuk does. Like, Deebo darn near didn't play three playoff games. Ayuk was, and Jennings were the offense.
I know.
Like, I would, like, for Kyle Shanahan, if you're even thinking, I don't think they are, but if you're even thinking of moving off of Brandon Ayuk, like, I need you to have your brain examined. Because there's no way you think I can replace that. Like, go talk to other fan bases. They will all tell you Brandon Ayuk's a top 10 guy.
Facts.
Like, facts. You know who's not, like, you know what you shouldn't do? Move off. If Ayuk was 29 years old, different conversation. He's 26.
This kid is young. You get the like, best 3 years of his life. Yeah, like you're going to get him in his prime. Entering his prime.
Exactly. And he's already the best separator in football.
And you said something earlier because you said something about not to cut you off that it doesn't make sense because you can get this kid, you lock him up for 4 years, he's going to be entering his prime. You're going to get the best years of his career right here in San Francisco. God forbid if you wanted to move on from an older wide receiver or an older tight end like a George, you could do it next year where it won't hit you in the caboodle. Like, it won't hit you in the pockets that much, right? It'll be a little bit easier. So you're right, man. This doesn't make any sense. I just think that the Niners do a lot of things that don't make any sense.
No, that's actually very true. They don't do a lot of things that make a lot of sense. We do have a question though. What would we pay from Peachy Brown? What would we pay for Brandon Ayuk? So
he's
Calvin Ridley got what?
92 Ridley, million, right? With 50 right, so, guaranteed.
So that's like 23-ish per year, so right?
Ayuk's gonna have to get maybe 26 a year.
So like a lot of that conversation is, are you willing to pay two receivers $25 million on average?
Yes.
And I don't like the on average conversation because the average value is not what it actually is.
Good point.
Like, yeah, that number is average, but sure, there's a cap hit, there's signing bonuses, and it's spread across, you know, 4 years, yes, with void years at the end of it. All of that to say, I would pay Brandon Ayuk $26 million because you can move off of Debo next year, get rid of the other $25 million receiver, and like...
And you still a receiver. You still could draft a guy. You could still get a guy. There's plenty of guys.
There's a different part of the conversation, and it's a tough one to answer. Of the two, Debo and Ayuk, now I think we both know which one is more unique in their play style. Which one is more replaceable, though? I do think that's part of the conversation.
Oh, okay. So that's a different question. Okay.
Because there is a couple of guys in this draft you can look at and say, well, they can be Debo-like.
Nah.
But he does is so unique to this offense.
Now we're talking. So that's a different conversation. I'm going to lean the Debo side. I think Debo's harder to replace, especially what you're trying to do for Kyle Shanahan in a Kyle Shanahan's offensive type of scheme and the way he runs his system. You know, Debo can run. I know Debo's not the greatest route runner, but he can run routes. Like, let's not act like he can't run routes.
He's no scrub.
He's not a scrub. He's not the greatest run blocker, but he blocks, especially when it's a play going to his way. You might not see him blocking on a play that's not going to his way, but the play is going to his way. He's blocking. Okay. But he's, you use the word unique. And this is why they paid Debo, and it was for his uniqueness. It was for his ability not to just be able to line up in the backfield, but Sterling, if you know you're an X and O guy, I mean, you if you're a defense preparing for an offense with a Debo Samuel in it, it's much more complicated to be ready for what the heck they are, where they're gonna line him up, what is he gonna do, what type of personnel is out there. Like it makes it more complicated for the defense to guess. Now, if you put Debo in the backfield, they might say, oh, they're going to run it. But when you got these interchangeable pieces and you start running these motions and you start doing these little intricate things, it kind of takes away from it kind of takes that advantage of the defense knowing what you're doing. And that's what you're paying Debo for, like to be that X factor.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm not saying you can replace Brandon Ayuk, but you can get a route running wide receiver over getting a guy with the mentality that has that special uniqueness of a Debo Samuel. Because let me ask you this. Every freaking year, there's a Debo Samuel guy in the draft. And every single year, I don't ever hear their name in the NFL. I don't. It's just Debo. It's just Debo.
Just take who we played this year in the Super Bowl. The Chiefs wanted Kadarius Toney to be Debo Samuel. The Giants drafted Toney to be Debo Samuel. Now, Toney has his own issues off the field and also being offsides on the field. But like, there are players like Malachi Corley, who I think everyone points to as being the Debo Samuel of this draft, and he certainly plays like that. Now, I don't think he's as big, but the way I look at Debo and Ayuk, and again, you can debate who's more unique or who's more replaceable than one. I do think that answer, Debo is much harder to replace than Ayuk would be. But if I asked you which one is more vital to San Francisco's success, that's a different question. Because for me,
I give the same answer.
Okay.
Because you said it. When Debo missed three games, the offense was... Yeah.
It really was. It really was.
And when Debo's unhealthy and out there, the offense is like it's just not the same. And Kyle Shanahan is timid in play calling when he can't. You know what it is? It's trust, right? So like Kyle trusts Deebo. And it's not that he doesn't trust Brandon Ayuk, but I asked the question, if Brandon Ayuk's wide receiver number one, get your behind back there in that backfield and do something different to what they used to. And I'm not saying that Brandon won't do it.
Right.
Kyle just won't utilize him in that way. He did in his rookie year. We seen him run reverses and all those type jet sweeps and all that type of stuff his rookie season because he had nobody else to do it. You know what I'm saying? So I think the answer, my answer, and I know it sounds like I'm just a Deebo guy. No, I'm not. I really love him so much. No, I really love Brandon Ayuk. And I think Brandon adds a different element to what Kyle does with his offense. I think every person on this offense, other than the offensive line, adds a different uniqueness to the offense, and every person opens it up a different way. It's like having a different key to a different book that's locked, and Kyle's going to take advantage of that the best way that he can, depending on how the plays are executed. Everything has to be executed, you know, perfectly. And so Deebo's unique, but Brandon's unique too. I just feel like if we're saying in this draft, in a draft, not this draft, but in a draft, I got to find a receiver that can get open, number one, that can run, that's smart number one, get open number two, or however you value that, and find a way to run these kind of like whip routes, because I don't think that's the scary part. Like, who can run these routes like Brandon Ayuk in the draft? You might not find that right now, but the question is, will you find a player where it will develop in a couple of years? But the main question is the one you've been asking this whole episode, and is if you're in win now mode, why would you not stay in win now mode? Because losing Brandon Ayuk kind of takes you out of that win now mode. You got worse, period.
Right. And the entire offseason, well, you can dive into them becoming more durable and younger in certain areas. They keep kicking the can down the road on Kittle and Hargrave and Warner. Why? They want to win now.
They want to win
now. The whole plan is to win now. And Brock Purdy's on a cheap contract still. You mentioned each piece of this offense unlocks a new door for what they can do. It's a new key to a door that they want to unlock in the offense. Christian McCaffrey was a big one for them. Deebo Samuel, obviously, is his own key to many doors in this offense, and Ayuk is one as well. Juwan Jennings, who will be back, he technically is under contract still because he's a restricted free agent. But when it comes to unlocking the next key, like, what is that next key? And I think if this Deebo Samuel trade offer from Jacksonville was real, let's say it was 17 in Zay Jones, what is Zay Jones? He's kind of a one-trick pony. He's a burner, right? He was that way with the Raiders. They tried it in Jacksonville. San Francisco tried to get their burner with Danny Gray.
Oh my God.
And it hasn't worked. Okay, so now what do they do? What's the next key to the door they want to unlock? I don't think the receiver plan is to let's move off of Deebo or Ayuk. I think it's let's find the next door. Let's find the next key to the door. And I think that key is finding a legit burner of a receiver that can get downfield with speed and open up space for the deep crossers, for the underneath, for Kittle, for Deebo, for Ayuk. Now, there's plenty of guys you can point to. Ricky Pearsall, one from Florida. Xavier Leggett, one from South Carolina. I think found my favorite receiver of the entire draft when it comes to sleepers and USC's Taj Washington, who's a guy who I think can do some Deebo sting, some things. He'll get overshadowed because Brendan Rice was there and others, but I think the next door for them is not trading Ayuk. It's not trading Deebo. It's let's finally get that burner slot. We have the tall, gigantic dog that can overpower a small nickelback in Juwan Jennings. Let's get the opposite of that. Let's get the guy that can destroy a linebacker in coverage, that can crush a safety over the top and open up so much more for the offense.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because I feel like there's two things that's missing from the 49ers offense, and it's the speed element. I think they got the lateral element, they got the movement, they got the motions, they got the smart players, they got the grit, they got toughness. They're just missing speed. Now, I still think Danny Gray provides the element of speed, but I don't know if he put it all together yet. I don't like, and I don't think they just want a guy that can, you know, run the nine route straight down the field, take the top off the D. They kind of want that person to move them safeties off the middle of the field to open up the underneath passages. And I don't know if that's Danny Gray. Now, we did see it with Trey Lance because he had the arm strength. Yeah. But they re-signed my man Chris Conley, and last time I checked, he's still fast. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he has not lost a step at all.
He has not. I don't care how old he gets. He is still fast. He can be that element while they still, draft a guy that can do a little bit more than just run the fly route down the field. Like, they still got to be able to get open underneath and take advantage of the slot and things like that. And I love that you brought that up, because taking the top off the defense, you know, is one of the elements we just don't see much of. And it's not that you need to see it, like, 10 times a game. No, that's not football. Like, you need to see it at least 2 to 3 times out of the game. It ain't no different than what Kirk Cousins did to our ass. And I want Brock Purdy to be able to do that to other teams. I didn't know Kirk Cousins was going to play as well as he did against the San Francisco 49ers that game. Kirk Cousins was like MVP-esque quarterback against the Niners. I don't know if because he just don't like Kyle Shanahan anymore or what. But that dude, that deep pass down the field, that I would like to see that. If the Niners can get themselves a nice little burning guy that could get down there, that can jump, catch ball, high radius, all that good stuff, that could be the next key that we're unlocking on the offense. And I mentioned speed. I think they bring speed back to the running back room too. So look out for a guy like Jalen Wright, or later on, Isaac Garendo from Louisville.
Say it twice. Say it 3 times.
Isaac Garendo.
I was so upset when I thought I had found. I was like, no one's talking about this guy. And to be fair, it was not just me. Brett Coleman talked about him too, on the Bootleg podcast. But I thought I found, like, oh, this is Kyle's next UDFA, 6th, 7th round pick. You know, the next Elijah Mitchell. Who is this guy and leads a team in rushing for a year? And all of a sudden, he destroys the combine.
He came out of nowhere.
I'm like, the combine to me doesn't mean much, but I know for the common fan, like, it'll catch the eyes. And they'll say, okay, now everyone knows who Isaac Garendo is now. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
It boosts his stock way up, and you're hoping for a 49er that he falls. Like, you know what I mean? But there's going to be a team, because last year, the guy that I wanted, that I thought that they should have added, was Keaton Mitchell. I know he got drafted by the Ravens, and he ended up getting injured. But they're just missing that element. I'm tired of Christian McCaffrey trying to get to the sideline, the outside zone. Not saying he's not fast, but Christian is more of a up-the-middle cut, make-you-miss kind of guy. I want the Mostert speed. I want speed. We bring speed back. I think the Niners' offensive line looks better. I just think everything gets better if you add that speed element. So speed might be the new key that they're trying to unleash again.
You could honestly say that the tagline, and maybe we're wrong here, but the tagline for the Niners this year is, be Lightning McQueen. I am speed. Like, that may be it. Like, if they're
cars
a Disney movie,
guys.
Cars. Don't be Cars 2. Be Cars 1. Cars 1. Be Cars 2.
Yeah, don't be Cars 2. Cars 2, no.
But
cars,
they'll be cars.
Yeah, cars.
Yes, just be cars. and maybe that's Kyle not going to Cabo and going to Disney California Adventure for a day and going, this is what I need. I need to have, like, if Debo Samuel's your tow mater and he's just a power back that can carry your offense, go get your Lightning McQueen. But we talked about so much of what they need to do in regards to adding. They've also lost a lot of pieces. And one piece that many fans I've seen on Twitter and X talk about, it, I thought they were going to bring him back. They should have brought this guy back. It was Chase Young. And I never felt that way about Chase Young. And now I like Chase Young. He's fine. But a lot of
I think Sterling froze for a second. I don't know if we're still live, if you guys can hear me. But I got a frozen Sterling.
Thoughts on Chase Young not coming back yesterday?
So, I'm with you. I thought this was going to be a signing. I think the number was probably
We got you. Oh, we got you. You're good.
The number was probably like at 11 million. and or less on a 1-year deal, but maybe some type of incentive. And I think Chase just wanted to go test the market. I don't think he liked the offer that the 49ers offered him. Now, listen, a lot of people didn't like Chase Young. They didn't like his effort, you know, but I don't think they really even understood Chase Young. I don't think they understood what this kid was literally going through, coming off the injury year, going to, like, start with Washington, playing. He had, what, 3-4 sacks with them, then got traded to the 49ers for a third-round comp pick. No week off. Still, his first week off, y'all, was the bye week in the playoffs.
That's a good point.
And so, like, I don't – and you, everybody needs rest. You saw how bad we our defense started to look before we traded for Chase Young and got the rest week off. And then we went to Jacksonville and exploded, right? And so, like, I don't think people misunderstood Chase. I thought Chase would, in a full year, full off season, full year with Chris Kocurek and his boy Nick Bosa, I thought they was going to do some damage. Now, listen, I do like the Leonard Floyd signing, but I like it as a situational thing to where he might you don't have to rev up his snaps. I want him to be highly productive. You get double-digit sacks out of him. That's a plus, right? But I really thought they would have brought back that book in and got Chase Young. But I think the contract offer was probably low from San Francisco, and that's what made him test the market. And, you know, congratulations. He's up to $13 million deal from the New Orleans Saints. 1-year deal. That was the type of deal I thought he was going to get. He was going to bet on himself, take a 1-year deal. Unfortunately, and I think we play them this year. I think we play the Saints. Hope we don't play the Saints, but I think we play the Saints. I hate playing the Saints. There's two teams.
It's Derek Carr, though, so it shouldn't be too bad.
But there's two teams I hate playing, okay? It's okay. The New Orleans Saints and the Atlanta Falcons, because they're old former NFC West teams. And I don't know. We just struggle against those two teams. It doesn't matter. Who's the quarterback? Doesn't matter. We just struggle against them because they're former NFC West teams. So those two teams always give the 49ers fits in trouble.
I feel like the Falcons have been, like, in 2021, we lost to them. Jimmy threw two picks. We just didn't play well. That was Drake Jackson's, like, first sack or the season, whatever it was. Like, it was a bad game. Everyone was hurt. In 2019, fighting for the first seed, we lost at home to them. Now we've beaten them since, but
yeah,
even the Saints, but like, I get what you're saying. It's like, oh, like, okay, like, these guys have always seemed to have our number, or at least give us a fight. But going back to Chase Young, like, here's the thing. If we played Chase Young this year, would I be like, oh, they got Chase Young? I don't think I would. And he's next to Cameron Jordan. And I do like Chase Young. I thought he was a fine acquisition. But I'm more of a stats guy when it comes to, like, yes, there is context behind maybe the reason as to why his production dipped, but, like, his production dipped the minute he got to San Francisco. And that shouldn't happen in this defense. Nick Bosa, Hargrave, Armstead at the time, albeit sometimes healthy. Like, his production dipped. And
to be fair, the whole defensive line was trash last year.
You're right. You're right.
Including Nick Bosa. I'm sorry. He signed mega deal and didn't give me mega numbers. How are we not mad at Nick Bosa, but we pissed off at Deebo Samuel? Somebody help
That's
me
a good point.
Understand that, because I was disappointed. He was disappointed. Nick Bosa was disappointed. I remember doing a podcast saying that this holdout is going to F up the situation in the season.
It did.
And he didn't say nothing until the end of the year. And he says, yeah, you know, the holdout. And I was like, see? But you want to trash me for my take? Because I'm telling you, like, that's what it does. You got to be around the team. You got to be around, like, you. This is a team sport. I don't care how great you are individually. That camaraderie, that brotherhood, like, and everybody got to get their bag. I get it. I understand it. I just wish there was a better way for players to still be involved with their team while they're trying to get their bag on the contract negotiation period. I know there's no other way. So I'm not mad at Nick Bosa, but honestly, that defensive front was terrible. And I don't want to sit here and just blame Steve Wilkes because he's gone, but something was off. Something was off. And the rush was off. The pressures were high, but the sacks were low. And I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm cool on pressures because you're a stats guy. But if the quarterback still get the ball out of his hand to complete the pass, what's the point of adding up the pressure? Like, it didn't do anything. The pressure did
nothing. That's why they lost those three games against Minnesota, Cincinnati, and the Browns. They couldn't finish off the sack. I think Nick Bosa, like, Fred Warner was in camp. Kittle was there. Nick Bosa is the only guy that really wasn't around. Debo held out a little bit, but he was around. Like, Debo was there for the majority, I believe, of training camp, or at least the last few weeks. Bosa didn't show up until week one. He was like, here I am. It's like, I'm ready to play. It's like, no, you're not. Like, Drake Jackson had three sacks week one, and then it was like, oh, this is great. We have Drake Jackson. Once Bosa comes along and his body's right, we're going to be phenomenal. Then Jackson gets hurt, production dips, and they have to go get Gregory and Chase Young. And maybe that is a reason as to why they want to get Ayuk done earlier. Who knows? But especially with the quarterback and receiver chemistry is a much bigger deal than I think a D-line chemistry might be, but maybe I'm wrong there. But back to Chase Young, like when I see Chase Young got $13 million for 1 year, and I see Leonard Floyd got 2 for 20, 12 guaranteed, you're paying Leonard Floyd essentially $1 million less than Chase Young. And I see that Leonard Floyd played 54% of his snaps, had 10.5 sacks, 41 pressures, an 11.3 pressure rate. That's not amazing, but it's fine, solid pass rushing stats opposite Nick Bosa on a line that has Hargrave and Bosa, two of the best pass rushing defensive linemen in football. When you add Malik Collins to it, he's a top six pass rush win rate guy in the entire league. Now, guys have to play up to those standards. Then you look at Chase Young. He had 2.5 sacks of the 7.5 in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Like, his production dipped, albeit there's reasons as to why and there's context behind that. He had 6 tackles for losses in Washington. He had 1 in San Francisco. And Chase Young had an amazing Super Bowl. Like, I don't want people to forget that. He was awesome. Like, the defensive line, for as bad as they were for a larger half of the season, they were great in the Super Bowl. Like, that defense played winning Super Bowl caliber play. Like, they were great. But when I watch Chase Young leave and I see fans like, oh man, like, we lost Chase Young, I'm like, did you even notice he was there for half the games? I didn't. And there are certain things you will, like, the box score doesn't indicate how good a player was that day. Like, Eric Armstead was great. One of the most underrated Niners the past 20 years. His box score is not going to tell you much. Cool. Like, DJ Jones was a good Niner. His box score is not going to tell you much. Justin Smith was a great Niner. His box score is not going to tell you what Alden Smiths might say. All that to say, I don't think Chase Young showed up on film or tape or in the box score a lot of the time. Some games he did. And I could argue that Leonard Floyd shows up a lot more. And maybe it's an effort thing, like you mentioned. Like, Floyd shows a lot more effort. Like, a lot of his sacks are not beating the tackles one-on-one. It's an effort sack. Well, San Francisco, maybe in a time and place where they didn't clean up those sacks last year, needs that guy to clean up those sacks. If you take down Joe Burrow a handful of times, you bring down Kirk Cousins once or twice, you at least win the Vikings game. Like, I do think there is a lot to say in effort, albeit how much, who knows. But when people say, oh, we lost Chase Young, I'm like, cool. I think San Francisco's had a B plus now, maybe free agency. I could honestly say I think they may have gotten better. And with who they've lost, that doesn't seem right. But I can honestly say I do think they've gotten better.
You're at the BB plus, and I'm at the BB plus. I felt like, you know, the only thing that would have gave the San Francisco an A is if they spent $80 million on one of them offensive linemen. And we knew that they weren't going to spend
that.
No, we knew that. So that was the only thing that would have given them an A. But I'm telling you, man, listen, they had 22 free agents, okay?
Yeah.
And they found a way to replenish this roster, and I think they got better pieces. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that Malik Collins and Jordan Elliott, that combo is going to be better than Eric Armstead, but they might be better than Eric Armstead as of now. Eric Armstead declined as well, like, due to the injuries, age, and things like that. And so, like, in his prime, he was prime real estate, but and we still couldn't find a way to win the games, right? But I'm okay with them moving on from a lot of the free agents, but I really love the acquisitions and the players that they brought in here. You talked about Leonard Floyd, and he is a high effort guy. And I just think with Wilkes being gone, I think Kyle Shanahan wants the Niners to get back to just letting this defense attack and be who they are. And I think that was the biggest thing. They did too much thinking, less reacting, it just it, they were confusing themselves a lot. And we saw we saw missed tackles. Like, I think we must did we had to have led the league in missed tackles. Dude, we were averaging double digits a game. There might have been one game we had like four or three. But other than that, man, we were just missing tackles. The defensive front was getting chewed up by the offensive line. Those offensive linemen were back into the linebackers on the second level. And here come the safeties, not knowing which box to clean up. Next thing you know, they arm missed tackling, taking wrong angles. It was bad, right? It was really bad. I think the Niners got better. They got some run-stuffing defensive tackles, or better yet, some gap-spacing defensive tackles, right? Because now these offensive linemen aren't going to be able to push these guys back into that second level, which is where the linebackers are coming in to fill in those gaps. And so I think the Niners got better. I'm with you. It's a B-plus for me. I know I grade a little loosely more than others, but I really like the acquisitions. It was a B, but I really like when they brought in Josh Dobbs, because now I think our quarterback room is efficient and it sufficed and it's stuttered. You could say door closed, and we'll wait to see who they get undrafted.
So I think you said, what, they had 22 free agents, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
They brought back and signed 16 players.
That's so good.
And they have 10 draft picks, and they still have money to spend. And they're going to have $18 million on the books come June 2nd.
Come June 2nd. Isn't that – like, it's a win. It's a win.
Like, I know, like, whenever you lose in the Super Bowl, and this team has lost twice, it's kind of hard to find the positive when you see a large portion of that team leave.
Good point.
And I know for Niner fans, while they didn't have strong ties to Chase Young or Eric Armstead or others on this team – and let's not forget that they essentially have lost Dre Greenlaw for a portion of the season.
That's the biggest hit to the 49ers defense.
That is the biggest subtraction, and who knows how long he's out for. Like, correct, of losing Armstead, of losing, correct, Young, that is the biggest knock of the offseason, and it happened in the last game of the year.
Super
cool.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Wish it, I hate to say this in the wrong way, but I kind of wish it was the last game of the year opposed to the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, if it was the last regular season of the game, he'd probably be back at the beginning of the season. Not saying I wish he was injured. What I'm saying is I wish this would have happened earlier. And it's so crazy and ironic how it was the Achilles, but it wasn't the same Achilles injury he was dealing with all season long. It was the other one. You can't make this stuff up.
But yeah, I mean, it's so, like, for San Francisco, like, coming off the loss, like, there was a time and place after they lost, I like didn't want to talk about the team for a little bit. Like, I didn't play a single game on the field. I did a lot of yelling on the radio. That was it. Like, it was like, I need to get away from this team.
That's a good break.
And like, you in the same breath, like you have to get away, because we pour effort into this season, albeit very little compared to what they do as players and coaches, but it's exhausting. And for the fan base, not the team, the fan base, I think we should go into 2024, sure, with the chip on our shoulder, but also in a way kind of feeling rejuvenated of like, hey, like, this team is actually, like, they're the Super Bowl favorites still. And if I feel that way, having not gone through what the players have gone through, I would like to hope the players can also feel that way. They're in the locker room, they're going to lose guys, and it stinks and it sucks. You see all these players putting the heartbroken emoji over Eric Armstead's departure, and that hurts. But once day one of training camp begins and the season ramps up, I hope this team and the players can see that you may have lost some names, but you've gained production. And if you've gained production, you've gained wins, and you are one win away. And guys get hurt and things happen during seasons. 2020 occurred. We all know and saw what those years were like. But if you gain production, you gain wins. And if you gain wins, you only needed one more last year. Like, I think that is the brightest spot of the offseason.
You only needed one more quarter. Both times, right? Both times.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's some really good stuff that you just said, Sterling. It's I think the 49ers, not to say that they should be cocky, you know, going into the next season, but at the end of the day, the NFC has to go through them. And I think, you know, with leaders like Fred Warner and that locker room, I know it's a new season. I know it's one game at a time. But at the end of the day, like, they still the team to beat in the NFC. And I think the Niners are healthy. I think the whole thing is to start the season off as healthy as you can, bring those guys back. The good thing about the Dre Greenlaw injury is that it happened. They know and they addressed it. And so, like, you know, now they just got to bring in the veteran and get him caught up to speed and see how well he pans out. And then they got some young guys, man. I can't wait to see how some of these guys develop. We talk about the draft, and then when we get these players and they don't get the opportunity to play and develop, we kind of, like, give up on them. No, like, they're going to get opportunities, and we're going to see which guys are the cream of the crop, whether they were drafted in the first round or the seventh round. And so the Niners got a lot of stuff to look forward to, and the first thing and first foremost is come back into OTAs with a fresh mindset. I'm sure they all took a break, like you said, and they're going to come back and say, listen, we know what we got. We know what we did to get here before. Let's do it again. And if you look at the team, if you look at the core is back. And all they did was just retune what they lost. And they brought in new players. And I really love the players that they brought in, including the backup quarterback or Josh Dobbs, however you want to look at it. I just love what they did.
Before I let you go, Breezy, we do have, I guess, in a way, some breaking news. Non-Niner related, but it could eventually lead to eventual Niners breaking news. The Browns and receiver Jerry Jeudy have agreed to a 3-year extension worth $58 million and $41 million guaranteed.
Well, ask me now, if I'm worried about that.
Are you worried about that?
Absolutely not. Those numbers, first of all, that's not going to hurt Brandon Ayuk. It's not going to, like, the Niners, the only contract the Niners need to be looking at is who's the top paid wide receiver? That's the question. So, right. Like,
it's who's probably going to be I think it's Tyreek Hill now, but it'll probably be Jay Jettas this year.
So right. And so now they got to take that guy, those numbers. Not yet. Right. Until if it's Tyreek Hill, you got to say, well, you're not Tyreek Hill. And then what you call his agent is going to say is, well, look what Calvin Ridley got. That's the hurt marker right there. That's what's hurting us. And they're going to be like, well, he better than Calvin Ridley. And so now you got to take them two numbers. You got to find a good fit number for that they agree upon. And that's where it gets tough, and that's why it takes so daggone long. So they better do this before Justin Jefferson get paid. I could tell you that.
Which is exactly what Peachy Brown just said. You gotta pay him before Justin Jefferson.
They gotta get the wheels turning.
Again, I don't want to keep you too much longer, but when you see Jerry Jeudy get $41 million guaranteed, and you see Calvin Ridley get $50 million guaranteed, we've heard countless players that have gone through the contract extension and negotiation talks with San Francisco. They talk about it's a grueling process. I would like to think the reason as to why that process is so tough is, one, because you want to get paid and you hope you get paid by San Francisco. But I'm going to assume San Francisco lowballs the crap out of their players to get that price down. And there's much more involved in that conversation in regards to structures and void years and guaranteed and signing bonuses. But like, just imagine, and I have no evidence of this, imagine if San Francisco came in at, you know, 45 guaranteed. Let's say they wanted, you know, 3 years, 75 mil, 45 guaranteed. Ayuk is laughing right now. He's in Mexico celebrating his birthday, he's going nuts, being like, we're getting paid double that when I get back to the Bay. Like, if I saw Jerry Jeudy, who has otherwise been a bust through, what, 3 or 4 seasons now with the Broncos for a variety of reasons, Ayuk's been an all-pro this past year.
Right.
He's getting second team massive money. Massive money after this.
That guaranteed number is going to have to be higher than 50. Sorry.
And that's probably the most important number of the
entire
contract.
Most important number of the entire contract, the guarantee.
Like when you see 4 for $90 with 50 guaranteed, forget the 90. It's the guaranteed money that matters. Yeah.
The money is what he's going to make, and the 90 is what he can make, right? He can make up to 90.
Exactly.
But that 50 is what he's going to be getting over the time of that contract, right? And so, like, that number is going to have to be depending on these other top ten. Listen, I don't think T. Higgins is a better wide receiver than Brandon Ayuk. But if T. Higgins gets his contract extension, his number is going to be $52 million guaranteed. I guarantee it. I can guarantee it. So now you're just pushing this guarantee number up. So like Brandon Ayuk's going to be in the 54. What was Debo's guarantee? I don't remember. That's why I'm asking. Do we know off the top of our head? Okay, because I'm not comparing the two. I'm just trying to figure out, because remember Debo. I think Debo went last in that, but. And Debo's agent represented like all the wide receivers that year.
It was Torrey Dandy. It was Debo. It was AJ Brown. Brown traded. Yeah. Those were the kind of guys of who wants to get paid first.
Right. And so when you look at this situation, it's going to come down to some stuff. And so Higgins, hopefully them in Cincinnati ain't even thinking about a deal. Higgins' agent is probably pushing for a big number. He's been tagged. He's got to play on the tag. I don't know what that situation is. It's a totally different situation, but he's still looking to get paid. And so, Brandon Ayuk is playing on a fifth-year option, but he's looking to be extended. And so, this is some crazy stuff, but this is what they get paid the money to do. The front office got to figure it out. But as these guys, if you're telling me Jerry Jeudy got a four-year deal with $40 million guaranteed, and he ain't got one 1,000 yard receiving. I don't know his stats, but if I don't think he has one,
it's not like Judy's had some context with Denver, but it's not even close to Ayuk's.
Listen, man, and granted, the Browns probably got bread, but that's the whole purpose of this being a free agent. You're gonna go to the team that could kind of offer you the most money.
Debo's contract in front of me. Debo, and maybe this makes what Jeudy and Ridley got irrelevant, because Debo got more than I thought he did. He got 3 years, $71.5 million of a contract. Mm-hmm. He got $58 million guaranteed.
Bruh.
I know yesterday's money isn't today's money.
Gotta get $60 million guaranteed, though.
That's the thing. So if you are San Francisco, forget the annual value of $25 million a year. Do you want to pay a receiver $60 million guaranteed? Now,
and
San Francisco might sit back and say, we don't want to do that again. And I know the markets change. Had this safety class been 10 years ago, they're getting paid. They're getting paid. And so maybe this year for the receivers, the Calvin Ridley is kind of the mark of what you want to hit and where you want to be. But I think as of now, if I'm the Niners, I'm seeing Ridley get, 50 mil. I'm seeing Jeudy get 41, but I'm sitting there we paid Debo 58. Would Debo's production since his contract make them reluctant to pay Ayuk? I think that'd be foolish because they're not the same player. But if you've already paid Debo 58, Ayuk's probably coming to the table saying, you're in between 52 and 58 now, my friends.
That's what
I'm
saying. I wouldn't
be surprised if he acts at 55.
Got to be Ayuk's agent is coming in at the good old number of 59, and the Niners
work your way down.
They're going to have to figure it out. They have to figure it out. This is what goes on during these contract negotiations, guys. So don't be alarmed. Don't be upset. Don't get angry. And this is why the trade rumors are heating up. This is why the Niners are fielding calls. Hey man, yeah, you sure you want this guy, man? Listen, this is what we want for him. We don't want to move on from him, but hey man, if you're willing to part ways with this, let's do it. Now, I'm not saying it's that much, but I'm just saying they have to entertain it, because the Niners may want to clear cap space in the future, not have money tied up to two wide receivers. I'm trying to think of a team that's paying two wide receivers top money.
Well, the Bengals don't want to.
They don't want to. They don't want to.
The only team that would come to mind that is paying two receivers, albeit one of them's on a rookie deal, is the Dolphins. What happens when Jalen Waddle comes up on a contract? Now, he's had injuries in the past, but he's a good receiver. Maybe the Seahawks, but Lockett ain't making big money anymore. And they have DK. Dallas don't want to play Gallup or doesn't want to pay Gallup.
He's gone. Gallup's been released.
Got released. But maybe now it is technically the Browns with Cooper and Jeudy,
but they got the money. They got money. Right. They have the bread. And they got the defense, right? So they're paying a couple of players on the defense. Newsom, who they talked about possibly trading. You know, their front is crazy. I think the only person getting paid on the front is Garrett. I think the other guys are young, but they're just – look, it's a game. I ain't getting into it. I don't want to get – I don't even want to have this conversation anymore about Brandon Knight. I'm starting to get sad because now I'm starting to understand that there's a small possibility that B.A. will be elsewhere. And I'm hoping it's AFC if he does. Like, don't send him to the NFC, please.
See, I don't want to, you know.
I'm not putting it in the atmosphere. Just saying.
But I do think the Buckner stuff is kind of jaded. Niner fans are like, it's happened once, happened before. It happened 4 years ago, though. Like,
bingo.
Happened, like
different
I get
time,
that,
different position, too.
But I also feel like San Francisco realized their mistake, hence why Hargrave's here.
You
like,
hope?
Like, they realized. Like, I mean, you're right. You hope. Like, that's the big thing, right? But it does feel like that they realized that the value they got with Kinlaw, which if you hit on Kinlaw, they don't sign Hargrave. That's just a fact. But they missed on Kinlaw. This team, to me, when it comes to drafting, has realized that we're not going to try to make the same mistake twice. Now, they will. It just happens all the time. They're going to hit and miss on certain players, but look at how they value positions. Who do they always go to in the first round?
Defensive edge, tackle.
Like defense. Edge, D tackle. It's who they are.
I don't see them changing. I'm sorry. Don't.
Which is why I don't think even if they traded Ayuk, they'd go for a receiver in the first round.
We're agreeing. First of all, I'm tired of talking about trading Ayuk because he's staying. That's it. That's the stuff we're going to put in the atmosphere. Brandon Ayuk isn't going anywhere. He's staying.
Correct.
All right.
Yes.
But if by any means it happens, the Niners are still going defensive tackle and maybe offensive tackle if they get two first round draft picks. They're going to go offensive line. They're going trenches. That's what I'm going to leave it at. Like, that's what they're going to do because that's where they feel like they get the best value. Right. Right. That's what, depending on who's available. We got to have another show. You know, we got to do this again. We got to do this again because now we got to do a draft show. I really love this. I really love being on here. This was amazing. I got to get you on my show one day. And let's just keep collaborating, bro. I got to jump off because I got another show at 4.
Busy, man. All right.
This was amazing. And I can't wait to pick your brain on the draft because now this is going to be interesting because I don't know. Well, the Niners, we talked about free agency. The Niners filled in everything. Like, all the colored blocks are filled. The question is, which positions are they looking to upgrade in the future? Like, now?
Yeah.
Like, does that make sense? Like, even if they drafted an offensive lineman and with your pick at 31, I don't think he starts day one. I don't think anyone that they see is going to start day one over Colt McKivitz. I don't think they beat out Colt McKivitz. And that's not shade to the talent that's coming out, but them top tier guys are going to go fast. And then you're going to get into guys that are good in maybe pass pro, but not great in run blocking or great in run blocking. Like, I don't want to draft another Mike McGlinchey. I'm sorry.
I don't think anyone does. But all right, Breezy, tell everyone where they can find your stuff. It was great to have you on. Really appreciate your time. And again, a couple days, a week or so, let's talk NFL draft because it's going to be a lot of fun heading into April.
I agree. Listen, I appreciate everything that you do for the community. I love what you're doing on the radio. Keep up the great work, Sterling. Listen, you guys, you can find me at The Wayne Breezy on all your social media platforms. It's super simple. Just put the in front of the word Wayne Breezy all together at the at whatever. Boom. It'll pop up, man. Please subscribe to the channel. We're growing and we're going to continue to push this channel. This is dope, man. This was amazing, man. I had a great time. It's so cool when I don't have to push buttons and I can sit and answer questions and be animated because you let me get loud. I tried to tame it. I tried.
See, that's what I thought was going to happen. I thought I was going to be on your show, and I misread it. I get to chill and be you for the day. It's
listen,
great.
They don't understand the production and the nervousness that goes into the production side about the connection and the computer working right and the sound being. They don't get any of that. They just want it to be right and working for them. Listen, I'm glad, man. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for the opportunity, bro.
Yes, sir. And let everyone know that you can follow us on social media at 49ers.access is the Instagram. 49ers_access is the X or Twitter. Please like, share, subscribe, leave your review on the audio platforms, and you can use our promo code 49ersaccess, 49ersaccess at SeatGeek.com and save yourself $20 off. Breezy, thank you so much. And to all the fans, thank you. And as always, until next time, stay faithful.